प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So now we'll start the fifth chapter of the second canto. This morning we completed the fourth chapter where Parikshit Maharaj had asked questions regarding creation, regarding primary creation and secondary creation. And Shukadeva Goswami, after offering prayers to the Supreme Lord, requesting for empowerment to speak on these subject matters, he starts answering Parikshit Maharaj's questions by mentioning that I will answer your questions by quoting a conversation that happened between Brahmaji and Narada Muni. So he is going to answer the questions of Parikshit Maharaj regarding primary and secondary creation by quoting this conversation that happened between Brahmaji and Narada Muni. That's the subject matter of the next three chapters, fifth, sixth and seventh chapters. We'll start. Narada Uvacha Deva Deva Namastestu Bhuta Bhavana Purvaja Tadvijanihi Yajnanam Atma Tattva Nidarshanam. So this is Brahmaji asking questions to, Narada Muni asking questions to Brahmaji. He says, this section I have titled Narada Muni's Doubts, Convictions and Questions. Actually, first he asks the questions, then he presents his convictions, and then he presents his doubts. So, first he is presenting his questions. He says, O Deva Deva, O Lord of all Lords, Bhuta Bhavana, O Creator of all living entities, O Purvaja, O firstborn living entity, Brahma, Namastestu, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Tad Vijanihi Yajnanam, Atma Tattva Nidarshanam. You know that knowledge which reveals the truth about Atma and Paramatma. So you are a very exalted personality. Therefore, please answer the questions that I am going to ask you now. So he is mentioning that you are a very exalted personality, my dear Brahma. So please answer the question that I am going to ask you. Srila Prabhupada in his purport writes, this section establishes the parampara system. How the Lord spoke to Brahma, Brahma spoke to Narada Muni, Narada Muni spoke to Vyasadev, Vyasadev spoke to Shukadeva Goswami, and Shukadeva Goswami is now speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. Knowledge received by service and submission is more effective than knowledge received in exchange for money. That's what Prabhupada writes here. That's what this proves. Prabhupada says that what we can learn from this section is that knowledge received in parampara through service and submission is more valuable than knowledge received in exchange for money, like that. So then the next verse, he asks six questions, Narada Muni. Okay, he says, Yadrupam yadadishtanam yatasrishtam idam prabho Yat samstam yat param yatcha tat tatvam vada tatvatah. Well, the question asked by Parikshit Maharaj was a very generic question. Please speak about the primary creation, please speak about the secondary creation. While here, the questions asked by Narada Muni to Brahmaji are more specific questions. Okay, so he's asking, Yad rupam, my dear Brahma, what is the form of this universe? And yad adishtanam, What is the shelter of this universe? Yata srishtam, how this universe is created. Yat samstam, unto which, unto whom does this universe merge at the time of dissolution? Yat param, it means, who is the supreme most personality in this universe? Yat param. And yat cha means, what are the material ingredients of this universe? Okay. So like that six questions he asks Narada Muni, of which three questions will be answered in this chapter and three questions will be answered in the next chapter. Okay. So, Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, Narada Muni wants factual answers. Where is it indicated in the verse? Tatvataha. He wanted factual answers and not theories manufactured by fertile brains. Which means he did not want any speculative answers. He wanted factual answers. Transcendental knowledge regarding the soul and super soul includes knowledge of the phenomenal world and the basis of its creation. Okay. So that includes knowledge of the soul and super soul. Any intelligent person can make the following observations about the material world. So Prabhupada says, before we even start discussing about creation, he says that just by pratyaksha, now we are going to talk about shabda. He says, just by pratyaksha, we can make the following observations. Anuman. We can make the following inferences based on observation. Okay. Prabhupada is stating that in his purport. He says, first thing that we can conclude is that the jivas are factual. They are not imagined. Second, the material world is factual. And third, there is some intelligence controlling these two. Okay. The material world and the jivas. Therefore, nothing happens by chance. Okay, there is some intelligence behind it. Once, when Prabhupada was there, one of his disciples, he went to Prabhupada and he told him, Prabhupada, this new scientist, he just got his, this year's Nobel Prize was awarded to this scientist and he has proposed this chance theory. So Prabhupada said that what is his proposal? So he said everything came by chance. Then Prabhupada replied, what this scientist wants to tell us is everything came by chance except his theory. He is responsible for his theory, therefore he accepted the Nobel Prize. So Prabhupada said if the scientist believed in his theory, he would not have received his Nobel Prize. Because if he is stating that everything came by chance, then he should accept that this theory also came by chance. Then why he is taking credit for his theory, that he is the his theory came by his intelligence, but everything else came by chance, like that Prabhupada was mentioning. So here Prabhupada says that nothing comes by chance. There is an intelligent being behind this phenomenal world and the jivatmas also. And Prabhupada says, but how to understand who is that ultimate cause behind everyone, everything? So Prabhupada says, by genuine inquiry and by approaching a bona fide spiritual master. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Like that. So the six questions that he is asking, Yadrupam, what is the form of this universe? Yadadishtanam, what is the shelter of this universe? Yatasrishtam, how this universe is created? Yat samstam, unto whom does this universe go and rest at the time of dissolution? Yat param, who is the supermost being in this universe? Yat cha, what are the material constituents of this universe? So the answers to the first three questions we will see in this chapter. So now, this is the question asked by Narada Muni. So now he is stating, why is Brahmaji qualified to answer these questions? So he says, Sarvam hyetad bhavan veda bhuta bhavya bhavat prabhu kara amalaka vad vishvam vijnana vasitam tava. He says, Sarvam hyetad bhavan veda. My dear Brahma, you must be knowing about all these things. Bhuta bhavya bhavat prabhu. You know what? You know the past, present and future. You are a Trikalagya. Because you are the creator of this universe. Kara amalakavad vishvam vijnana vasitam tava. He says that you must be knowing the detailed knowledge about this universe, just like a person who has a amla fruit in his hand, palm. He can look at that fruit and give exact detailed description. You know, it's called kara amlaka nyaya. It's one of the nyaya. In order to say that, you know, if someone has engineered something, then he can give exact detailed knowledge about his creation. So therefore, Narada Muni says, you have created this universe, so therefore you must be knowing exactly the details about this universe, therefore you can answer these questions of mine. These six questions you can easily answer. Like that Narada Muni is mentioning. And Prabhupada in the purport, he says, the direct manufacturer of a particular thing is supposed to know how he learned the art of manufacturing, where he got the ingredients, how he set it up, and how the products in the manufacturing process are being turned out. All these things the manufacturer must be able to explain. Because Brahma is the firstborn living being, naturally he is supposed to know everything about creative functions. Therefore, Narada Muni is asking Brahmaji. So in one sense, the Acharyas explain, Prabhupada explains in his purport, many of these things that Narada Muni is going to ask Brahmaji, it may seem like, you know, Narada Muni does not know all these things. So Narada Muni is one personality that you see in Bhagavatam. If you have to describe his job description in three words, okay, he does the needful. Whatever is needed for the pastime to progress, he will do. Okay. So sometimes he may speak about still higher subject matters to many wonderful devotees. You know, he may go to Prahlad Maharaj and preach to him. He may go to Dhruva Maharaj and preach to him. Okay. And sometimes he may go to Ravana. And Ravana sometimes tries to kill him. You know? He will try to go and incite Ravana's anger, and once Ravana tries to kill Narada Muni, he took his sword and tried to slice off Narada Muni's head. But the sword just passed through his neck without cutting anything. And he continued slicing, just the, you know, sword just passed through its body. So Ravana shamelessly put the sword, and then he asked Narada Muni, hey, how did you get this kind of a body? Can you please tell me? Like that. And sometimes he goes to Kamsa and tells, you know, which is the eighth child. He takes a lotus and shows, tell me which is the first petal, which is the eighth petal. You know, all those things. And sometimes he would go to Prachina Varhi and preach to him, Mrigari, and preach to him. Whatever is needed for the pastime to progress, he takes that role. Here, he knows the answers for all these things, Prabhupada mentions in one of the purports. But just so that, what he is doing here in this episode is that, he is presenting his pratyaksha. We will see in the next few verses. Because he is the son of Brahma. So he has seen his father from a young age. So he is presenting, my dear father, from my young age, I have observed you. So these are my observations and these are my inferences based on those observations. Because for Anuman, the source of Anuman is Purva Pratyaksha. Whatever has been the previous observations, those become the basis of, inference later. So he is telling, this is my pratyaksha, and based on this pratyaksha, this is my anuman. Okay? And now you please tell me whether it's right or wrong. In one sense, what Narada Muni is trying to do is he is establishing the superiority of Shabda here. So how pratyaksha and anuman can fail one in trying to reach the highest conclusion will be shown very systematically by Narada Muni here, through his conversation with Brahma. Very interesting conversation. So he says, Sarvam hi etat bhavan veda bhuta bhavya bhavat prabhu kara amlakavad vishvam vijnana vasitam tava. Just like a manufacturer of a thing must know the details of everything. You know, how it is created, what are the ingredients, where do you get the ingredients, how do you put the ingredients together, what is the process, everything. So therefore you must be knowing. So you please tell me. And then he says, Yad vijnano yad adaro yad parastvam yad atmakah ekasrajasi bhutani bhutairevatma mayaya. He says, Yad vijnano, you are the source of your own knowledge. This is my observation. Because I have not seen you learning from anyone else. So you must be the source of your own knowledge. Yad adaro, I don't see you taking shelter of anyone else. So you must be your own shelter. Yat parastvam. Okay. And I don't see that you are dependent on anyone to execute any activities. So therefore, you must be dependent on yourself. Yadatmakah. With yourself as the soul, you create things. Which means you are the source of the ingredients also. That's what he means. Okay. Eka srijasi bhutani bhutai revatma mayaya. Without help, you create the living beings with the elements coming from your own energy. Okay. Energy is yours, ingredients are yours. Okay. And you are the one who is creating. You don't take help of anyone. And the knowledge to create is yours. Okay. So therefore, I am forced to conclude that you must be the supreme personality of Godhead. Okay, that's what he is trying to say. He doesn't believe it. Like if you see the question, the way Prabhupada translates this verse, I'll read Prabhupada's translation. Prabhupada says, My dear father, what is the source of your knowledge? Under whose protection are you standing? And under whom are you working? What is your real position? Do you alone create all entities with material elements by your personal energy? Like that. Though if you look at the verse itself, it is not stated in the form of a question. But if you see few verses later, Narada Muni is going to ask the same question. Okay, he has some questions in mind. So he has some doubt. There is an element of doubt. If you see Vishnu Chagadago's translation, though he is stating it with conviction that you are the source of your knowledge, you are your own shelter, you are dependent on yourself, there seems to be a sense of conviction. But if you see later, there is an element of doubt in Narada Muni's heart. Therefore, Prabhupada phrases his translation in the form of a question. It will become little more evident few verses down the line. Okay. So Narada Muni is telling, you know, I think you must be the supreme personality of Godhead. Then he says, Atman bhavaya setani napara bhavayan swayam atma shaktim avashtabhya urnanabir ivaklamaha. He says, Atma shaktim avashtabhya. Situated in your own energy, like a spider creating its web. Urnanabir iva. Urnanabi is a spider. Just like a spider, it creates its own web. Okay? So he is the creator. And for creation, he is the source of the raw material also. What is the raw material? His own saliva. So he uses his own saliva to create, his own energy to create, and then once he creates, he does not get fatigued because of creating. You don't see that after creating the web, you know, it goes and rests for one day, you know. Not like that. It doesn't get fatigued. And when he creates the web, he doesn't get trapped in that web. That web is there to trap the other insects. And when the other insects get trapped in that web, the spider will effortlessly move on that web and he will go and eat those insects, if you have observed. Okay? And whenever he does not, whenever his job is done, the spider winds up the web himself. Okay? So therefore, in this second canto and third canto especially, if you see, this example of spider comes many times. Wherever the independence of either the Supreme Lord, or in this case, you know, Narada Muni is using it to check whether whether Brahmaji is the supreme independent being. So he also uses this example of spider. Later, Brahma himself would use the same example of spider to address the Supreme Lord as the independent creator. Like that. So, so that's what he's asking. So, just like a spider creates its own web out of its own raw material, own energy, and then he doesn't get fatigued because of that creation. He says, na parabhavayan swayam. He doesn't get destroyed. Aklamaha. He doesn't get fatigued. And whenever he does not want, he winds up that web. So therefore, my dear Brahmaji, I see that you are like the spider. You create when you want, and you wind it up when you don't want. And I don't see you borrowing ingredients from anyone. I think the ingredients also are also yours, just like the saliva of the spider, it's his own saliva. And after creation, I don't see you hibernating. I don't see you taking rest, becoming fatigued. So therefore, I think all these observations, this pratyaksha, forces me to come to the conclusion that maybe you must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what he is indicating here. It will become clear in the next verse. Okay. So what are the few things that we saw about spider? Can you just try to recall? He creates on his own. He uses its own ingredients. He doesn't get entangled. He doesn't get fatigued. And whenever he does not want, he winds up. Okay, like that. So now, okay, let's continue. So I don't want you to read fifth purport. Okay. We will come back to the purport because Prabhupada just, he breaks the suspense in the purport only. Okay. So we will come back to fifth verse purport later. Okay. Let's retain the suspense for some time. Okay. Then he says, Naham Veda Param Hyasmin Naparam Nasamam Vibo Namarupa Gunair Bhavyam Sadasat Kinchidanyataha. He says, Na Aham Veda, my dear Brahma, I do not know anyone Kinchid Anyataha. I do not know from where else all these things can arise from except you. Param, aparam, samam. Either superior beings like devatas, inferior beings like animals and plants, or medium beings like the human beings. I do not know of anyone or anything in this material world, nama rupa gunair bhavyam, which has either a name, form, or qualities. I don't know of anything that comes from anywhere else other than you. I don't know of any other source other than you, of anything that you see in this material universe. So Narada Muni is stating his convictions here. I don't know of any other source. I think you are the only source. Okay, let's continue. But then I have just one doubt. So all these things, all these following observations that I have mentioned, you know, forces me to conclude. I would have almost concluded that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But just one activity of yours gives me some doubt. What is that? He says, Sabhavan acharad ghoram yattapasu samahitah tena kedayase nastvam parashankam cha yachasi. He says, though you seem to be so independent and the absolute controller, Bhavan acharad ghoram tapah susamahitah. I have seen you with great attention perform intense austerities. Okay. Tena khedayase natvam. By this, I am a little bit bewildered. So if you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to please whom did you perform austerity? Parashankam cha yachasi. You produce a doubt that there may be someone superior to you. Okay. So therefore, you kindly clarify this doubt. If you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then I don't think you should be performing such austerities to please someone. So is there someone above you to please whom you are performing such austerities? Like that he is asking. You know, we all know this pastime. Once German historian or someone, during the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he visited India and he was trying to understand Indian culture. Okay, and once he came to, was it the Gaudiya Math temple? Somewhere he came, and when he saw the form of Radha and Krishna there, Krishna standing with his flute, he concluded that this must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, so he said, all the other deities I saw, they are doing some work, you know, and they are doing some hard work. He is the only person who is standing and doing nothing, playing his flute. So he said, he concluded that, so this must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why does he have to do anything? Why does he have to strain? Everyone else must be doing the work for him. He said, that is the definition of Supreme Lord, like that. So, Narada Muni is telling, see, everything is fine, just this one act. Why you are performing so much austerities? To please whom? If you are the Supreme Most Being, you must not be performing austerities to please anyone. So, here Prabhupada writes in the purport, one should follow Narada Muni and not accept his spiritual master blindly as God himself. No one can be God if he is worshipping another superior. The Ahangropasita worships himself to become God, but God doesn't need to worship anyone, including himself, to become God. So Prabhupada talks about one of these processes called Ahangropasana. Many times in the purport, Prabhupada mentions. Prabhupada further writes in the purport, Ahangropasana may be one of the processes for transcendental realization, but the Ahangropasita can never become God himself. No one becomes God by undergoing a process of transcendental realization. Okay? Like that Prabhupada is mentioning. It's some kind of impersonal path, Ahangropasana. So then, he has mentioned this, Narada Muni has put forth this doubt. This one activity of yours puts me in doubt that maybe there is someone superior to you. Then he says, Etanme pruchata sarvam sarvagya sakaleshwara vijani hiyatai vedam aham buddhyenu shasitah. O sarvagya, O omniscient one, O sakaleshwara, O lord of all things, Vijanihi etadme pruchata sarvam. Please consider and tell me everything that I have asked you. yata eva anushasitah aham buddhye. And you teach me in such a way that after hearing from you, I should have no further doubts. Okay? So clear all my doubts. If you say you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am willing to accept. Because 90% of my observations are, you know, matching with that conclusion. Only 10%. So you clear that doubt, I am willing to accept that you are the Supreme Lord. Okay? So all that Brahmaji has to do is to clear that 10% doubt if he wants to establish himself as the Supreme Lord. Okay? And who is Brahma? It is said that his whole body is made of intelligence. Okay? Already all the arguments that Brahmaji could give, Narada Muni has already given. He need not work hard. If he wants to really establish, you know, he can establish very easily that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay? But let's see what Brahmaji has to say. So Brahmaji, he starts answering. He says, Samyak karunikasyedam vatsate vichikitsitam yadaham choditas saumya bhagavad virya darshane. Hey Vatsa, my dear son. Saumya, oh auspicious Narada Muni. Karunikasyah, he says, today you have become merciful upon me. Today you have become merciful upon me. And he says, Te vichikitsitam samyak. You have asked such a perfect question to me. Why? Yadaham choditaha bhagavad virya darshane. Because of your questioning, today I have got an opportunity to meditate on the prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, thank you very much. You are so kind and compassionate towards me. Like that, Brahmaji starts by expressing his gratitude to Narada Muni. Today you have given me an opportunity to meditate on the Lord's prowess. Thank you. Like that. So, Prabhupada in this purport, it's very beautiful purport. I'll read the purport. Brahmaji, being so questioned by Naradji, congratulated him, for it is usual for the devotees to become very enthusiastic whenever they are questioned concerning the Almighty Personality of Godhead. So whenever a devotee gets an opportunity to speak about the Supreme Lord, he becomes very happy. That is the sign of a pure devotee of the Lord. Such discourses on the transcendental activities of the Lord purify the atmosphere in which such discussions are held, and the devotees thus become enlivened while answering such questions. It is purifying both for the questioners and for one who answers the question. We saw this verse the first day. Vasudeva Katha Prashna. Lokans Treen Punatihi. Like that. The pure devotees are not only satisfied by knowing everything about the Lord, but they are also eager to broadcast the information to others, for they want to see the glories of the Lord are known to everyone. Thus the devotee feels satisfied when such an opportunity is offered to him. This is the basic principle of missionary activities. Like that. Prabhupada says that, what is the basic principle of missionary activities? A devotee, he feels very satisfied knowing about the Supreme Lord, and he feels all the more satisfied when he gets an opportunity to share his understanding of the Supreme Lord with others. So that is the basic principle of missionary activities. Okay. So in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one verse, another verse where Prabhupada talks about the basic principle of missionary activities. So in that, there is a verse which comes, which starts with Atma Upamayena Sarvatra. Atma Upamayena Sarvatra, like that. Where a devotee sees, others as equal to him. And Prabhupada in his purport explains, what it means is that when a devotee experiences the joy of Krishna consciousness, he feels, my God, this Krishna consciousness is so joyful. So if I am feeling so joyful practicing Krishna consciousness, let me share it with others so that others also can get the same joy. Because if they are following the same, they will also get the same joy. And then the devotee feels, my God, if material endeavors are so frustrating, okay, then others also must be feeling the same frustration if they engage in such material endeavors. Okay, so let me educate others that how they should give up their material endeavors and take up to this path of Krishna consciousness so that they can also become joyful just like me. He says, this is the basic principle of missionary activities. Sharing what they have received gratefully with others. Like that. That's what Prabhupada is mentioning here. Then Brahmaji continues. Brahmaji starts, we saw in this verse, that he becomes so grateful to Narada Muni. He feels, you have given me an opportunity to meditate in the prowess of the Supreme Lord. Thank you very much. You are so compassionate upon me. Okay, like that. Nandritam tava tachapi yata mam prabhavishi boho avijnaya parammatta eta vattvam yato hime. He says, my dear Narada Muni, tava tachapi yata mam prabhavishi, whatever you have spoken to me, my dear Narada, na andritam. This is the first statement he says. That is not false. Okay. There is an element of truth to what you have spoken. Okay. And then he clarifies. He says, Yataha avijnaya paramatta etavatvam hime. He says, because those people who do not know the difference between me and the Supreme Lord, naturally they will speak like this only, that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. So, when I was young, there was this one 3D movie. Okay. Like, you know, it's like what you watch in the screen, you don't watch, but if ever in your life you had an opportunity to watch, okay, that screen is a two-dimensional screen like this. And whatever picture you see is a two-dimensional picture, okay, like here. But that was a 3D movie. So you are given a goggle. You have seen 3D goggles. So you wear it and suddenly, you know, the two-dimensional movie becomes three-dimensional. Suddenly ice cream, you know, is right in front of your eyes. And some fruits and some eatables, everything is there right in front of your eyes. And for a person who is not wearing that goggles and is observing others' actions, he sees that everyone is, you know, trying to grab the ice cream and, you know, and he's not able to understand what's happening. What is, because he is not wearing that goggles. So that's what Krishna says, covered by that illusory layer, people wrongly identify with this body. So same thing he says, actually there is an element of truth to what you are speaking, because people wearing these goggles, you know, because they do not know that it's not actual ice cream, it's actually running on the 2D screen only, but just because of wearing these goggles, it's giving an feeling that it's actually right in front of you. So Brahmaji says, those people who do not actually know the difference between the Supreme Lord and me and myself, they tend to speak like this. Therefore, there is an element of truth to what you are telling. It's not completely untrue. Without knowledge, if one observes, if one bases his conclusions purely on pratyaksha, it is a very valid conclusion. Okay, this anuman is a valid anuman based on pratyaksha. Therefore, he says, therefore, one needs to take shelter of shabda. What is that shabda? I am going to tell you now. Brahmaji is going to tell. So in this verse he says, there is an element of truth. For those who do not know the difference between myself and the Supreme Lord, purely based on pratyaksha, they may come to such conclusions like that. So, Prabhupada, in this purport, he says, material scientists trying to understand the power of the Lord is like Dr. Frog trying to understand the length and breadth of the ocean. Dr. Frog, you know, frog inside the well. Materialistic people accept normal people as God or incarnations, and this may be gradually extended till Brahma. But only people who don't know about God can make such a mistake. But Narada Muni is not such an ignorant person. But if Narada Muni is not such an ignorant person, then why is he questioning like Dr. Frog? Prabhupada takes this question in the purport. He says, because this is the will of the Supreme Lord. Just like Arjuna was put into illusion for bringing out Bhagavad Gita, Narada Muni has accepted to put himself under such a position. Even though, you know, this may come in the pages of Bhagavatam, such words coming out of the mouth of Narada Muni himself. Are you the Supreme Lord? He is asking Brahma. And then he goes around teaching so many people who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one may say, if Narada Muni himself does not know, how come he is preaching to so many people like that? But Narada Muni is not concerned. He is willing to do the needful. For this pastime, fine. I am willing to take that Yoga Maya Samavrata. Let the curtain, you know, fall before me. No problem. Like that. One cannot worship a man as a god, however great he may be. For example, Prabhupada gives a beautiful example. Prabhupada says, Yudhishthir Maharaj was as great a king as Lord Ram and a better moralist than Krishna. Okay? But that does not mean that Yudhishthir Maharaj is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Supreme Personality of Godhead is a totally different identity at all times, and no idea of anthropomorphism can be applied to him. What is anthropomorphism? Extending the image of man to the Supreme Lord. Like, find out who is the greatest man alive on earth. That greatest man is Supreme Lord. So that is anthropomorphism. Okay? Like Bible says, man is made in the image of God. Anthropomorphism is ulta of that. God is made in the image of man. That is anthropomorphism. So Prabhupada says, no amount of anthropomorphism can be applied to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like that. That's what is avajananti mam muda manushim tanum ashritam. So, he says that only people who do not know the difference between the Supreme Lord and myself, they speak like this. People who actually know the Shabda Praman about my constitutional position and the Supreme Lord's constitutional position would never make such statements like that, he says. And then he says, now I will tell you what do I do. He says, Yena swarochisha vishvam rochitam rochayam yaham yatar kognir yata somo yata rikshat grihata rakaha. He says, vishvam rochayami aham. He says, my dear Narada Muni, I manifest the universe yena swarochisha rochitam. That universe which has already been manifested by the Supreme Lord, I only re-manifest. There is a nyaya which is called Pishta Peshana Nyaya. Pishta means peat, floor, that which has already been ground. Okay? Pishta Peshana Nyaya means trying to grind that which has already been ground. It serves no purpose. Okay? So, Brahmaji is telling, what you see me creating, the Lord has already created. Okay? So, there is no credit to me. like that he says. But of course, he is speaking this out of humility. Okay? That does not mean that he has nothing to his credit. He is speaking like this out of his humility. So therefore, we should know, we should have some prudence to know which statements of scriptures should be taken literally and which statements should be taken to indicate the mood of the speaker. So when some devotee is speaking about himself, then we have to have some caution. Not many of those statements can be taken literally. Whereas when a devotee is speaking about the Supreme Lord or someone else, then, you know, there is a good likelihood that those statements can be taken literally. But statements like this, like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami telling that I am worser than Jagai and Madai. Okay. This is a classic example of a statement which cannot be taken literally. Though it is spoken by a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord who has no duplicity in his heart and he is speaking the truth according to his own opinion. But these are statements which cannot be taken literally. So here Brahmaji is telling that I am creating that universe which has already been created by the Supreme Lord out of humility. He will of course, you know, clarify this point little later also, expand on this. But nevertheless, you know, this is not a statement which when we read, we can take it literally. Then that would mean that there is no need for Brahma in this material universe. He is a redundant entity because already the Supreme Lord has done it. It's not like that. He has a specific role and he performs that role to perfection. But out of humility, he is speaking like this. And genuinely, Brahmaji is feeling like that. Okay. He says, Yena swarochisha vishvam rochitam rochayamyaham. That which the self-manifesting Lord, that universe which the self-manifesting Lord has already manifested, I only re-manifest it. Okay. He is telling as if there is already, you know, ground floor. I take that ground floor, put in the atta chakki, and door bar gumake, then I, you know, present the same ground floor. Like that, he is speaking. But actually, it's not like that. It's very clear that primary creation, the Supreme Lord performs, and secondary creation, he actually empowers Brahma. And Brahmaji only creates, empowered by the Supreme Lord. That empowerment, out of humility, he says, already the Supreme Lord has created. Okay, like that. And then he gives an analogy to explain this. Yatarko agnir yata somo yata riksha griha taraka. He says, just as the luminaries that one sees, like fire, moon, sun, they illuminate only those places which the Lord chooses to illuminate. He gives an interesting reason. So one may ask, why is the sun illuminating some portions of the universe while it is not illuminating some portions of the universe? Why? Brahmaji says, because the Supreme Lord chose those places to be illuminated, therefore sun illuminates there. Why it's not illuminating some places? Because the Lord chose those places not to be illuminated. Like that. So similarly, the Lord created this universe and I am just recreating it. Like that he is mentioning. So Prabhupada writes a wonderful purport here. He says, Narada Muni wanted to get the verdict of the supreme authority Brahma on the matter of creation. So this was his way of extracting the true information. Just as the verdict of the supreme Brahma also says in Brahma Samhita, Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadanda Koti. So, I serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda, whose transcendental bodily effulgence known as the Brahma Jyoti, which is unlimited, unfathomed and all-pervasive, is the cause of the creation of unlimited number of planets with varieties of climates and specific conditions of life. So, he says that how the... So Prabhupada is quoting this verse to show that Brahma himself has accepted that the Supreme Lord is the original creator, because in his Brahma Samhita he wrote, Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadanda Koti. The bodily effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this Brahma Jyoti, is actually the source of millions of universes, like that. So that's what Prabhupada says. This is the same, this Yasya Prabha, this bodily effulgence of the Supreme Lord is called Swarochisha. Because here the Supreme Lord is addressed as Swarochisha, the self-illuminating Lord or the self-manifesting Lord, like that. And then Prabhupada writes, this all-pervading Brahma Jyoti is the potential seed of all creation. Therefore, like that. So therefore, the Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes and it's not Brahma. Like that Prabhupada writes in the purport. Supporting Brahma, but of course we understand that Brahma's role, Brahma also has a specific role and he performs it. Okay, but out of humility he is speaking like this. Then he says, Tasmai namo bhagavate vasudevaya dhimahi yanmayaya durjayaya mam vadanti jagadgurum. He says, Tasmai namo bhagavate vasudevaya dhimahi. I meditate on the Supreme Lord Vasudeva yanmayaya durjayaya, by whose insurmountable maya mam vadanti jagadgurum. People speak that I am jagadguru. He says, forget about the Supreme Lord. See the potency of Lord's material energy. Just his inferior energy. See the potency of that material energy. That bewildered by that material energy, people of this world call me jagadguru. Like that Brahmaji is speaking. So Prabhupada here writes in the purport, Brahmaji is very clear. Prabhupada again quotes, Brahmaji says in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Paramakrishna Sachidananda Vigraha. He has very clearly stated that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. Brahmaji, as a very responsible person, doesn't like to be addressed as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But some people do take pleasure in being addressed as God by their disciples who are like hogs and dogs. And why such people do this is explained in the next verse, Prabhupada writes in the purport. The next verse he says, Vilajjamanaya yasya statum ikshapate muya vimohita vikattante mamaham iti durdiyah. He says, durdiyah, these ignorant jivas, yasya vimohita, being bewildered by this maya potency of the Supreme Lord, amuya ikshapate statum vilajjamanaya, because of the nature of her job. It is mentioned here that maya potency is very ashamed of standing in front of the Supreme Lord. So she goes and hides behind him. Okay. Amuya ikshapate. Ikshapate means line of sight. She does not want to come in the line of sight of the Supreme Lord. Because she is so ashamed. Because she has to do the thankless job of bewildering the living entities and make them turn their face away from Krishna. Therefore, she is not very comfortable standing in front of Krishna. And the acharyas explain that this also means that amuya ikshapate statum vilajamanaya, that the fact that she is ashamed to come in front of the Lord also means that Lord can never be bewildered by maya. Maya is always behind the Supreme Lord, like that. Vikattante mama aham iti. So how to identify such people who are bewildered by maya potency? The way they speak. Okay. Vikattante mama aham iti. They speak in terms of I and mine. Okay. That is the way to identify, that ensure that such a person is bewildered by the maya potency of the Lord. by his language. Okay. Again in the 7th canto, when first time Prahlad Maharaj is taken to Hiranyakashipu, so he asks, "My dear son, what did you learn?" And then he says that "Tat sadhu manya suravarya dehinam." And then the first time he Hiranyakashipu hears this, he actually starts laughing. And he tells Shandan Amarkar, standing right next to Prahlad Maharaj, and Hiranyakashipu starts laughing, and he says, "See how impressionable these children are. They are so easy to be impressioned." Okay. It must have happened that some Vaishnavas in the garb of some Brahmanas would have entered the Gurukul and would have taught something inappropriate to him. So he tells Shandan Amarkar, "You know, be very careful, you know. Keep an eye on these Vaishnavas, they should not enter." And he laughs it off and he sends Prahlad Maharaj and Shandan Amarkar back. But though Hiranyakashipu has laughed, Shandan Amarkar knew that the next time he is not going to laugh. Next time Prahlad Maharaj speaks anything like this, it means end of their lives. So though Hiranyakashipu did not take Prahlad seriously, they took Prahlad very seriously. They started threatening and chastising Prahlad Maharaj. They said, "Who taught you all these things? We didn't see anyone entering. You know, why you are speaking like this? Who is that enemy? You foolish person, tell who is that enemy who entered and contaminated you like this?" Prahlad Maharaj says, "Watch your language." He says, "Watch your language. The Shastras say any intelligent person doesn't speak in terms of friends and enemies. He has an equal vision of everyone. Pandita Samadarshina. You are calling yourself Pandita, but you are speaking in terms of friends and enemies. So, isn't it evident who is a fool just watching, you know, just observing your language? Who is the real Pandit here? You are calling me a fool. But watch your language. You are speaking in terms of friends and enemies. Which means, according to Shastras, you are the foolish person. Okay? Because a Pandita is supposed to have a Samadarshan. Like that Prahlad Maharaj says. Same thing here. Brahmaji is also mentioning that the person who is bewildered by this Maya potency can be identified by his language. When he speaks in terms of I and mine, then understand that he is a person who is bewildered by the Maya potency of the Lord. Okay. So here, Prabhupada in this purport, he says, the primary symptom of a bewildered person is that he talks nonsense. And the first grade nonsense talk is Aham Mameti, like that Prabhupada writes. And how to overcome this illusion? Prabhupada says, Mamevaye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. One can overcome this illusion, the effect of this illusory influence, by taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Prabhupada concludes the purport by mentioning, this verse gives the identification of a bewildered person. Like that. Okay. So now, Brahma has now, let's see what Brahmaji has spoken. First, he gratefully thanks Narada Muni by mentioning that you have been so merciful to me because through your questions I have become inspired to meditate on the prowess of the Supreme Lord. And then he says that actually there is an element of truth to what you have spoken, because those people who do not know the difference between Supreme Lord and myself, they may speak like that. And then he says, actually, the real fact, the Shabda Praman is that whatever the Supreme Lord has already created, I only recreate it. There is no, I cannot take any credit for myself. He says that what to speak of the prowess of the Supreme Lord. My dear Narada Muni, observe the prowess of the material energy of the Supreme Lord. Being bewildered by that material energy, people of this world are calling me Jagat Guru. And he says, this Maya potency, being very ashamed of the Supreme Lord, does not come in front of him, which means it cannot affect him. But the Jivatmas, being affected by this material energy, they talk in terms of I and mine, aham, mama, iti, like that. And then he starts answering the 6 questions asked by Narada Muni. Can you at least recall the first 3 questions that he asks? Yadrupam, what are the constituents of this universe? Yadadishtanam, what is the shelter of this universe? And Yatasrishtam, how this universe is created. So first he answers Yadrupam. What are the characteristics of this universe? So he says, Dravyam karma cha kalascha swabhavo jiva eva cha vasudevat paro brahman nachanyortosti tatvatah. He says, O Brahmana, who is addressing whom? Brahmaji is addressing Narada Muni. So he is telling, Dravyam karma cha kalascha swabhavo jiva eva cha. Whatever one can observe in this universe, either through Pratyaksha or Anuman, can be categorized in these 5 categories. Dravya, Karma, Kala, Swabhava and Jiva. Okay? Dravya, Bhumi Rapo Nalo Vayukam, can be observed by Pratyaksha. Okay? Karma, okay? That can be observed by Anuman. Okay, so karma can be, you know, what one is receiving. Someone is born blind, okay, someone is born rich, someone is born poor, you know, those things by observation one can understand that this must be connected to his previous activities. Okay, so that can be observed by Anuman. Okay, and kala, one can see time through its effects. Okay. And Swabhava also can be understood by Anuman. Okay? Swabhava, how it can be understood by Anuman? By seeing his inclinations, a person's inclinations. Because Swabhava means by the accumulation of various impressions, the nature that a person has developed, that is called Swabhava. So karma indicates what a person deserves because of his previous activities. And Swabhava gives an indication of what the person desires. What are his general inclinations or general desires. And that's what is indicated by Swabhava. So every action that a person performs gives 2 kinds of results. Okay. Let's say the first time one eats a gulab jamun. Okay, so let's say if that person is slightly diabetic and he eats a gulab jamun for the first time. There are 2 things that happens. First thing is that his sugar level may shoot up. That is his karma. Okay, that is one reaction. That is actually reaction. Karma means that which is inevitable. And the second thing that happens is that if he liked that gulab jamun, he may have developed a taste for eating that gulab jamun again. That is the swabhava, you know, the impression that he has gained. Or if he did not like it, he might have developed a hatred towards that gulab jamun. That is another kind of negative swabhava. So any action gives rise to karma and swabhava. And from millions of lifetimes, living entity by engaging in various activities has accumulated these karmas and swabhava. Swabhava means proclivities. Karma means inevitable reactions which will anyway come. You can say no to a proclivity. Okay? You like the gulab jamun. You want to eat one more. That is swabhava pushing you in that direction. But one can always say no. One can use his intelligence and say no, it's not good for me. Okay. A proclivity can be push of a proclivity can be, you know, stopped. Whereas karma is inevitable. After one eats a gulab jamun, one cannot choose to have his sugar level increased or decreased. That is not possible. Once you eat, it will increase. That is inevitable. That is karma. So, a jiva has this karma and swabhava. Okay? That is what is indicated here. So, dravya are the matter that one sees. And karma is the activity of the jiva or the reactions that he is carrying. So, the subtle body carries both karma and swabhava. And kala is the shakti of the Supreme Lord. And jiva. Okay? Vasudevat paraha. So, whatever you see in this material world, whatever you can either see with your pratyaksha or anuman in this material world, can be categorized into these five categories. Dravyam karmacha kalascha swabhavo jiva evacha. And understand that Vasudevat paraha. They are non-different from Vasudev. Okay? And nothing but Vasudev exists. Okay? If you see, jiva is jiva shakti. Okay? And kala is also another shakti of the Supreme Lord. Okay? And dravya, karma and swabhava are the maya shakti of the Supreme Lord. So in one sense, if you see, all the three things that you see in this material world, jiva shakti, maya shakti and kala shakti, they are various energies of the Supreme Lord. And because energy and energetic are non-different, therefore whatever you see in this material world is Vasudeva only. So that is the characteristics of the universe. What constitutes this universe is nothing other than Vasudeva. Like that, here Brahmaji is mentioning to Narada Muni. That is the answer to Yadrupam. What is the form of this universe? What are the characteristics of this universe? In this universe, these are the five things that you observe, and understand that these five things are energies of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, other than Vasudev, nothing else exists in truth. Okay? That is Brahmaji's explanation for the first question asked by Narada Muni. Yadrupam, what is the form of this universe? Like that. Is this similar to the five topics of Gita? Jiva, Prakriti, Ishwara, Kala and Karma. Yeah, Swabhava is not there. Yeah, one sense. Okay, let's continue. Then he is going to answer the next question. Yad Adhishtanam. Who is the shelter of this universe? He says, Narayana para Veda, Deva Narayanangaja, Narayana para Loka, Narayana para Makaha. So he says, if you think the Vedas give the shelter, if you think the Vedas are the ultimate shelter of life, understand that Lord Narayan is the shelter of Vedas. Or if you think the Devatas are the ultimate shelter, then understand that the Devatas are just the limbs of Lord Narayan's body. Or if you think that all these 14 planetary systems, they are the real shelter of all living entities, then understand that these planets are, that Narayan is the shelter of all these planets. And if you think that by performing all these various kinds of sacrifices, that is the source of my shelter, then understand that all these sacrifices are dependent on Narayan. So, this word para has two meanings. One meaning is shelter. The other meaning is cause. Shelter and cause. So, Narayana para Veda also means Lord Narayan is the cause of the Vedas. Okay. So, he is cause of the Vedas in two ways. From the breathing of Lord Narayan only all the Vedas come out. That is one understanding. And another understanding is that what is the purpose of Vedas? Vedaischa sarvam sarvair ahameva vedyah. The purpose of the Vedas is to know Narayan. So the cause of creation of Vedas, so if Narayan himself is not there, then there is no utility of the Vedas. It's like telling, one way of telling it is that you see this guest house that has been built. Is it wrong to say that the guests are the cause of this guest house? Is it wrong to say? In one sense, it is true. Because if the guests were not going to visit this place, then this guest house would not have been built in first case. Isn't it? So that way also, Narayan is the cause of Vedas. Because if Narayan was not there, then there is no purpose of creation of Vedas. Because the ultimate purpose of Vedas is to know Narayan. That is one way of explanation of Narayan is the cause. Second way of explanation is, the Vedas directly emanate from the bodily pores of Narayan, from the breathing of Narayan. That way also he is the cause. And at the same time, the third meaning of para is, he is the shelter. He gives shelter to those Vedas. That way, three meanings of para are there. Para means the effective cause, the actual cause, and para also means the shelter, like that. And so then he continues. Narayana paro yogo, Narayana param tapah, Narayana param jnanam, Narayana paragatihi. If you think that by taking shelter of these various karma yoga or jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga processes, that is what is going to give you shelter, then understand that Lord Narayan is the shelter of all these various kinds of yoga processes. If you think austerity can give you the ultimate shelter, understand that the shelter of Narayan gives shelter to austerity. Narayana param tapah, Narayana param jnanam. If you think knowledge can give you the ultimate shelter, understand knowledge is dependent on Narayan. He is the shelter of knowledge. And Narayana paragatihi. If you think liberation gives the highest shelter, and understand Narayan is the shelter of liberation also. Like that. So in these two verses, Brahmaji is answering the second question asked by Narada Muni. Okay. Yad adishtanam. Who is the ultimate shelter in this material universe, like that? So and Prabhupada in his purport, in each paragraph or each section, he is talking about what is the meaning of Narayana Paraveda, what is the meaning of Deva Narayana Angaja. He explains how in this Virat form of the Lord, these various devatas, they constitute the various bodily limbs of the Lord. Therefore, Krishna says, avidhi purvakam. What is that verse? Yajante shraddayanvita tepi mameva konteya yajante avidhi purvakam, Krishna says. So, he says, because all these devatas form the bodily limbs of the Lord, therefore worshipping them individually is actually indirectly worshipping me only, but it is avidhi purvakam. It is an improper worship, like that. Okay, let's continue. So, having answered two questions, before going to the third question, Brahmaji wants to be doubly sure that, you know, still no one continues to think of him as a Supreme Lord. So in four verses, 17 to 20, he again re-emphasizes this point by mentioning There is some basic difference between the Supreme Lord and myself. Let me explain to you what that basic difference is. Understanding which, never ever you will compare me with the Supreme Lord. Okay? So he says, Tasyapi drashtarishasya kotas tasyakilatmanah srijyam srijami srishtoham ikshayevabichoditah. So one may ask, so because in the previous two verses he has said, Narayana Paraveda, Deva Narayanangaja, Narayana Paraloka, Narayana Paramaka, Narayana Parayogo, whatever is there, everything is, Narayan only is the shelter. Then Narada Muni may ask, then what is your role? Huh? Everything is Narayan, then what is your role? So he explains in this verse, Tasya api srishtaha aham. First thing you understand, that I am created by him. I am created by Lord Narayan. So, and I create only that which has already been created by him. One may say, okay, you may create what has already been created by him, but at least that creation you do independently. He says, no. Tasya ikshaya eva abichoditah. He gives me inspiration through his glance. Only because of that I am able to recreate. Okay. So taking inspiration, you are creating independently? He says, no. Ishasya srijyam srijamyaham. That also he has already created and given me. I only recreate it. Okay. And even that recreation, he is drashtuhu. He is overseeing it as the witness so that I don't make any mistake in recreation. Okay. As the kutastasya akilatmanah, as the unchanging super soul present in my heart, he is constantly witnessing if I am doing that recreation part properly or not. So therefore, at every stage, you know, his hands are there, practically. So therefore, I can't take any credit. He has created me, and he has given me the inspiration to create. And what I have to create, he has already recreated and given. He has created it and given it to me. And while I am recreating it, sitting as the Paramatma, he is carefully watching. Therefore, you tell me, Narada Muni, what credit I can take for myself? Like that Brahmaji is asking. That I cannot take any credit for myself. This is my role. You see, at every stage, the hands of the Supreme Lord are there. The hands of the Supreme Lord is there. So therefore, I cannot take any credit for myself. Therefore, please don't call me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like that Brahmaji is speaking here. So, Prabhupada here writes in the purport, even Brahmaji admits the presence of the soul and super soul. Okay? Super soul inspires the soul to create what has already been created. Krishna tells Arjuna, Nimitta Matram Bhava Savya Sachin. I have already killed all these people. Now you just take the credit by acting as an instrument. Prabhupada gives the example of Columbus. Columbus discovered America, but it was not created by him. Though he wanted to discover India, okay, eventually ended up discovering America. Nevertheless, he said Columbus discovered America, but he didn't create America. It was created by the Supreme Lord. But then even the discovering ability of Columbus, okay, that was given by the Supreme Lord. Okay, he didn't possess it by himself. But one gets the ability to the extent one surrenders and serves, the spiritual master, Prabhupada writes. To the extent one surrenders and serves, to that extent one gets the ability to do anything. Okay. Brahmaji is a great devotee, therefore he was empowered to create the whole universe. The Lord inspired Arjuna also to fight as an instrument. Nimitta matram bhava savya sachin. If not for Arjuna, the Kauravas would anyway have been killed by Krishna. Have been, nay. Krishna says they have already been killed. He says, he shows in the Virat form, you see, they have already been killed by me, like that. Therefore, one can surrender to Lord and act under his direction and be glorified. Prabhupada gives a simple, anyway, Lord is only going to do it. You are not going to do anything. Why not surrender to the will of the Lord and you take the glory? Or one can act by himself under the influence of Maya and suffer the reactions. But if one acts independently, then he has to take responsibility for whatever comes. But if one acts under the guidance of the Supreme Lord, then Lord takes the responsibility and the Jivatma gets the glorification. Okay? Whereas if he acts independently, then he gets the reactions of his actions. Okay? And since the Lord is Urukrama, sometimes under his direction, his devotees like Brahmaji also appear to do things very extraordinary. The Lord is Urukrama, and because Brahmaji is a surrendered soul, therefore sometimes Brahmaji also seems to perform very extraordinary activities. Okay? This is the potency of surrender, Prabhupada writes in the purport. If one surrenders, Lord is Urukrama, he can do extraordinary activities. So as an instrument, you may also do extraordinary activities, but on our own, then we don't have any capacity. All we get is reactions for our activities, like that. So therefore, Prabhupada is writing this purport to establish that how, when one surrenders, one can get empowered beyond anyone's imagination, like that. So, in 18, 19, 20, in these three verses, now Brahmaji is going to establish the difference between, you know, the Supreme Lord and himself. He says, Sattvam rajastamayiti nirgunasya gunastrayah sthitisarga nirodeshu grihita mayaya viboho. He says, Sattvam rajastamayiti nirgunasya gunahatrayah. He says, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas are the three gunas belonging to that Supreme Lord who is without gunas. Okay? So he says that it belongs to the Supreme Lord who is Nirguna. Then whose gunas are those three? It belongs to the Supreme Lord. How? Because he does not personally accept them. He accepts it through the agency of Maya. Tribir gunamayer bhavair ebi sarva midan jagat, Krishna says. Or gunamayi, what is that? Daivi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. So Maya is addressed as gunamayi, which means she is made of three gunas. Okay, but ultimately, in the ultimate sense, it belongs to the Supreme Lord only, because Maya belongs to the Supreme Lord. So indirectly, he is in touch with the three gunas. He is not directly in touch. Okay. Sattvam rajas tamayiti nirgunasya gunaha trayaha. Grihita mayaya vibho. So these three gunas are accepted by the Maya potency of the Lord. For what purpose? Stiti sarga nirodeshu. For the purpose of creation, maintenance and destruction, the Lord through his agency of Maya accepts the three modes. So here, what Brahmaji is doing here, he is establishing the hierarchy. He says, the Supreme Lord is at the topmost, and subservient to the Supreme Lord is Maya potency, and subservient to this Maya potency are the three modes. Okay, that's what he has established now. The next verse he says, Karyakarana kartratve dravya jnana kriyashrayah badnanti nityadamuktam mayinam purusham gunaha. So he says, the three gunas, okay, dravya jnana kriyashrayah, the three gunas which act as the cause of matter, senses and sense devatas. We saw this before also, isn't it? the source of the sense devatas is sattvika hankar, mode of goodness. Source of mind is again sattvika hankar. And from mode of passion comes intelligence, prana and the 10 senses. And from mode of ignorance comes the 5 elements and their tanmatras, like that. So that gunas, which is the cause of matter, senses and sense objects, badnanti mayinam purusham. So next in the hierarchy comes the jivatma, which is bound by the 3 modes. But in actuality, constitutionally, this jivatma is superior to the 3 modes and maya. But because of being bewildered by this maya potency, in this hierarchy he comes below the 3 modes. Okay? So, in these 2 verses, Brahmaji says, the Supreme Lord is the topmost. He controls the maya potency, and maya potency controls the 3 gunas, and these 3 gunas control the jivatmas. And now he is going to say, I am one such jivatma. Brahmaji is going to say. So, the Supreme Lord is not my direct master also. In between the Supreme Lord and myself comes the 3 modes and maya potency. And above that is the Supreme Lord. Therefore, how you can equate me with the Supreme Lord? Like that, Brahmaji is asking Narada Muni. So in the next verse he says, Sayesha Bhagavan Lingais Tribir Etair Adokshajaha Swalakshitagatir Brahman Sarvesham Mamacheshwaraha. He says, Sayesha Bhagavan Adokshajaha. This Lord Adokshaja, who is beyond the perception of material senses, Brahman, who is also the impersonal Brahman, Sarvesham Mamacha Ishwaraha. Understand that he is the controller of everyone, including myself. Su alakshita gatihi. And understanding him becomes very difficult. Etair tribir lingais, because of the covering of these 3 gunas. And these 3 gunas cover me also. Like that, Brahmaji is indicating here. So in these 3 verses, Brahmaji wants to re-emphasize to Narada Muni, that please understand, there is a very basic difference between the Supreme Lord and myself. I fall in the category of jivatmas. These jivatmas are controlled by the 3 gunas. 3 gunas is controlled by the maya potency, and this maya potency is controlled by the Supreme Lord. So therefore, I fall way below in the hierarchy. So don't compare me with the Supreme Lord. Like that, Brahmaji mentions before continuing further to describe, to answer the 3rd question of Narada Muni. So we will continue with the 3rd question after Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.